Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. 7 minutes past the hour of 9. Welcome to the social program on Radio Islam International. My name is Habib Bobat, and inshallah I'll be keeping you company this morning right up till 10 a.m. In today's edition of the program, inshallah we'll be discussing the book Enjoy Your Life by Dr. Muhammad Al-Arifi. And to tell us more about that, inshallah we have Marana Bam on the line. Marana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And assalamu alaikum to all the listeners.
How are you keeping, Marana?
Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has been kind. And of course, it's a time of great reflection upon Muslims, in South Africa in particular, certain aspects and certain challenges, the aspect of the heat, the lack of rain, certain areas without water. And I suppose certain things that we take for granted, sometimes we need to reflect upon that. And the way Allah Ta'ala has made mention, قُلَ رَعَيْتُ مِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَاءُكُمْ غَوْرًا فَمَنْ يَعْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينَ. If one morning you get up and the sources of water are all dry, who is going to grant you free, fresh, running, beautiful water to sustain your life? None other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Something for us to reflect upon. And I suppose happenings in the past few days have brought about a certain amount of reflection, people talking about water conservation. It would be so nice that if people keep those aspects not only at a time of difficulty and drought and restrictions, but at all times, inshallah.
Mm-hmm. Mona, today's program, what will we be discussing, inshallah?
Mona, in the book, of course, we know Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is interacting with people, as deduced from the study of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, is the title and the theme of the book, Enjoy Your Life. Very interestingly, the author has also given one chapter, topic number 14, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's interpersonal skills with animals. So, so beautiful. And inshallah today we will be discussing that. And I'm sure there is a great degree of increase in our community with people who do interact more now with animals. People have pets, for example. And how do we deal with animals? And of course, we know one aspect with regard to animals is only the aspect of perhaps benefiting from the meat and you consuming it. But in today's time, we know that animals have become much more than that. People today keep them as pets. Sometimes even people keep them as breeding. And sometimes even people keep them as investment, subhanAllah. So of course, how do we deal with animals? And I'm sure there might be a lot of people who might be interested in that, and I'm sure it'll be they would be also tuning in and be able to share their experiences and their comments on this valuable topic.
Yes, indeed, inshallah. So we'll be looking at the topic of animals. It's actually a continuation of series under the chapter Enjoy Your Skills, and from there we look at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's interaction with the poor. Then we look at the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's interaction with the women, then the children, then the slaves and servants, then with adversaries. And today we are dealing with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's treatment towards the animals. So that's the thought pattern of the author. And inshallah we'll be looking at the chapter 14 of the book Enjoy Your Life. Stay tuned to Radio Islam International as we catch up on a few commercials. Yes, it is a social program, and today we are discussing the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's treatment towards the animal kingdom. Well, now we may commence.
Yes, Ma'ana, the author has very beautifully put it, when good interpersonal skills becomes one's habit, they become his second nature and an integral part of his personality. Such a person is always found to be easygoing, light-hearted, gentle, forbearing, and sensitive with all. And when kindness becomes part and parcel of your conduct and character, then it transcends into everything that you do. And it will even impact upon your interaction with animals and non-living things. Very interestingly, non-living things. Obviously, we do believe each and everything has a degree of life. The way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ كُلٌّ قَدْ عَلِمَ صَلَاتَهُ وَتَسْبِيحَهُ. Each and everything glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this earth. And each and everything has a mode of glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, sorry for that one, for one of the great scholars from India has made mention that, you know, our salat encompasses all the different modes of ibadat of different creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for example, he says, when you stand up, then it resembles the trees. When the trees, when they also making zikr, but when they make zikr, they're standing up. Right? Mm. And then, for example, you have the mountains. The mountains resembles in certain ways how a person sits in a tahiyyat. Then you find, you know, sitting down resembles those animals which moves on the ground. And those aspects that you come from time to time, and every aspect of yours in your salat will resemble the worshipping mode of different creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nevertheless, each and everything has a different, some aspect of life. Even if it's life, not to the extent of bearing responsibility for their deeds. It is only human beings and jinnat. إِنَّ أَرَدْنَا الْأَمَانَةَ عَلَى السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْجِبَالِ فَعَبَيْنَ أَن يَحْمِلْنَا. Allah Ta'ala gave this responsibility of consequences and bearing the consequences of your deeds to each and every creation. عَلَى السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْجِبَالِ فَعَبَيْنَا, to the heavens, the earth, the mountains, they refused to accept it. Except human being took up that we will bear the consequences of our deeds and be prepared to be accountable for our deeds. So each and everything has got a certain degree of life. And inshallah, during the course of the program, we will give some very amazing and interesting anecdotes and incidents of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's interaction with animals, etc. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, in a hadith in Bukhari Sharif, makes mention that before prophethood, or just after prophethood, I went with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we did not pass anything with regard to even a small mound, even a small piece of, you know, a stone. But they all said, As-salatu wa-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah. Salat and salam be upon you, O Rasul of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So each and everything has got a certain degree of life. And it is important for us to respect that life. And of course, one of the more advanced and progressive forms of life. Of course, there is life even in plants. There is life even in things that we regard as non-living. But animals do have, and we can see the degree of life. We can see how they value life. Try and corner an animal. And even if there are 10 people cornering an animal, and the odds are against it, it will fight because it's got nothing to lose. So this aspect is that animals do have a great degree of life. How did Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam deal with animals? And what does Islam say with regard to it? Is inshallah something that we will inshallah look at today, inshallah.
The lines are open, 011-854-1548. Alternatively, you could SMS on 48855 or WhatsApp on 072-786-1548. Mona Bamba is also available on his number, 083-786-2859, or tweet him at Ibrahim Bam. Now, as you rightly mentioned, that there are several stories covered in this chapter. I counted about 6 stories. Perhaps we can discuss each story and draw some lessons, Manana.
Inshallah. But one, I would just like something that I heard from a very famous scholar in Pakistan, in Karachi, Hazrat Moinder Tishamulak Thanvi, and even someone who has got any of his lectures would sometimes pick up this very interesting incident that he used to relate. And he used to say, you know, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was one day going, and on his path, on his way, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the crying of a stone. The stone that was there, it was crying. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah gave Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the ability to listen to what the stone was crying about. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approached, "Why are you crying?" And the stone replied and said, "I am crying because it has come to my notice that Allah Ta'ala says in the Holy Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would make the stones the fuel of the fire of Jahannam. فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. Allah will make stones the fuel of the fire of Jahannam. Jahannam will become fueled by the fire of Jahannam. So Prophet of Almighty Allah, make dua for me. You know, so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifted up his hands in dua to make dua for that particular stone who had expressed its feelings to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued with a few of his companions on his task. And on his way back, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed the same way. And this time, he saw the same stone crying. So this time he asked, now, why are you crying again? So the words Mawlana Ihtisham al-Thanawi rahmatullahi alayhi used to use so beautifully, he said, Tilka bukaw al-khawf wa hadha bukaw al-surur. That was the crying of fear that Allah will make stones the fuel of the fire of Jahannam. This is the crying of happiness that the Nabi of Allah had made dua that I must be saved from becoming the fuel of the fire of Jahannam. So that was something that always stick in mind the way Mawlana used to make mention of it. Tilka bukaw al-khawf wa hadha bukaw al-surur. That was the crying of fear and this is the crying of happiness. So there is no doubt that there is a degree of life in each and everything. But of course, the life of the animals is something that is more advanced. And the first thing Allah Ta'ala has made mention in the seven juz of the Holy Quran, وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا تَعِيرِ يَتِيرُ بِجَنَاهِ إِلَّا أُمَمٌ أَمْثَالُكُمْ. Subhanallah, what a beautiful... And Allah Ta'ala has made mention of the rights of animals 1400 years ago, long before the modern animal rights movement began. And it gained momentum with the publication of the book Animal Liberation by Peter Singer in 1975. And Islam has made mention of this long before that. And Allah Ta'ala has said, there is not a creation on this earth. There is not the species of birds. وَلَا تَعِيرِ يَتِيرُ بِجَنَاحَيْهِ. Those animals that flutter around and you look upon it as living a life without any cohesion, illa umamun amsalukum, but they are an ummat the way you are an ummat. They are a creation of Allah the way you are a creation of Allah. The way you are an ummat, those animals also signify being an ummat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Interesting indeed. Let's go to the lines. We've got a caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Oops. Okay, the lines are still open. You can call us back on 011-854-1548. Marana, let's perhaps start with the first story the author mentions here.
Yes, Marana has made mention, of course, once Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was on a journey with his companions, he stopped over to answer the call of nature. Meanwhile, some of his companions notice a bird. In the hadith, we only used to read about the bird, and alhamdulillah, the author has made mention of the name of the bird, a red-starred bird with two chicks. And he took the chicks away, the bird came and began to circle around them, flapping its wings. When Nabi Akram Sallam came and saw the scene, he turned to his companion and said, who distressed the birds by taking its chicks away from it, taking its young ones away from it? Return it back to the bird. On a different occasion, Nabi Karim Sallam noticed a burnt ant's nest. And he said, who burnt the nest? He demanded. One of his companions replied, I did. Nabi Karim Sallam became angry and said, no one but Allah punishes with fire. No one but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes with fire. To punish anyone or any creation, even an animal, with fire is something that is not recommended and not permissible. And it's something that we've got to keep in mind, never to burn an animal. No, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so, and then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no one but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes with fire. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so merciful that if he saw a cat while he was performing wudu, he would lower the utensil down for the cat to drink from that utensil. Because sometimes you can be performing ablution. Now, of course, we have taps. That time, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to do it in containers. So when the cat used to see the container, it used to eye the water. Perhaps it could not find water the way water is so readily available to us today. And because it's so readily available, sometimes we must use it. But that time, of course, people used to give a great amount of premium upon water. So when the cat used to gaze at the water, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to put the container down, make the cat drink from it, and then perform ablution from the leftover water. SubhanAllah. Such was the kindness of our beloved Nabi Akareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
We've got a call online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum. Gee, brother, you live on air? I think the brother is gone again. The lines are still open. 0118-541-548. Well, coming back to the first story of the bird and the red stud bird with two beautiful chicks, and the Sahabi took away the chicks and distressed the mother, and it came and made a circle the person and started flapping its wings. Mm-hmm. And the Prophet ﷺ said, return the chicks back to the mother. From here we learn the principle of we find nowadays animal trade is quite rife, and when you are doing, when you are involved in animal trade, one of the practices you come across is separating family members. And like in this case, you're distressing the mother or the parent from making the child leave the nest or the comfortable zone of the family. We find that many times we're selling the bird off or any other animal species for that matter, and we are separating it from the family itself, Mulana. How distressing is that?
Mulana, you can't imagine. Recently I read a book, and it was a novel, but it was based on someone's... I just forget the author. It's a very famous author, the one who wrote Sisters Keepers.
Hmm.
Maybe someone can remind me with regard to it. But one of her later books has been the impact upon elephants and how people have even gone to this extent to notice the trauma of young elephants. And some even have gone to the extent that we have found that, you know, recently we always used to look upon elephants as docile, animals.
Hmm.
And of course, recently things have become changed. And nowadays people talk about elephants, be careful with regard to animals. And we have seen many, many experiences and read in the media where elephants become quite violent. And one of the theories that has been put forward has been because many of these animals had seen the culling of their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And when they've seen the culling of their animals, they live with that particular type of trauma. And that is a result of the trauma.
Yes, and recently there was a petition here in Indonesia also. They were protesting that to put a stop to animal trade and the inhumane treatment of animals, etc. We have a caller online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ji, you live on air, brother.
Hi, Mulana.
Alhamdulillah.
Hi, Sayyida, Isuk. I was also one of the guys who won the Pushkin we did at
SubhanAllah. One of the remarkable experiences of my life, doing a walking safari in the Kruger National Park.
Mulana, I mean, glad you mentioned like the animals are like part of us, like actually, you know, in Ummah, when it's home.
Hmm.
And Allah emphasizes in the Quran, in the Hadith, our kindness to animals. And, you know, for us, as Muslims, we need to set an example for the non-Muslims. You know, one of our very sunnahs, it's a basic sunnah. You know, we have dogs at home, we have cats at home. I see a lot of people still treating the animals in it as well. Now, what kind of an example do we actually set? And you actually mentioned quite a few important things on air at the moment. And one thing for me is that our youth. Our youth is our foundation, our future. Mm-hmm. And in our madrasa curriculums, I don't know if you can build an element of this topic where it can be discussed and be addressed.
Mm.
But I know we tend to discuss this topic very now and then. Alhamdulillah, you got the opportunity to come on air, but it's not there. It's not dug in. There's not a solid foundation.
Yes.
Concrete. So I don't know what we can actually do going forward to address this little issue.
Mm-hmm. Jazakumullah for that, brother.
And do you have anything in mind? Maybe the people who have a passion, you see, there's no doubt that certain times and certain people have greater passion for certain things than others. Now, those people who have the passion should be able to drive those things.
Mm. I definitely have a passion for youth. And definitely, as you said, I am a guy, so alhamdulillah, it is my passion. What we want to do is actually, like, you know, we're going to the schools, we're going to the madrasas, we'll be talking on aspect of Islam and nature and the environment, environmental conservation.
Mm.
A lot of our madrasas I'm trying to go to. And we also want to target a lot of youth camp. I know that's always been, there's a lot of work behind involved in it, but inshallah next year we want to take out a few groups of youth. Doesn't have to be the Kruger National Park, it can be anywhere around. Just to go and experience
Kruger National Park will also do, but inshallah nearby also will, alright.
Yeah, just to increase our love. Allah Ta'ala's creation, come closer to him, and show us everybody the beauty
so much,
and grandeur.
Let's put it this way, inshallah, if you got the program, Radio Islam and Jamatul Ulama would be, inshallah, with you on it, inshallah.
And brother Yusuf, I also fall under the youth, inshallah. Okay, Jazakallah.
Jazakallah, Mulana. Assalamu
alaikum. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Jee, Mulana, interesting call.
Very interesting call, Mulana. Firstly, let us start. I think, Mulana, there's a lot of things that we can speak about. Let us take things one thing at a time, right? Maybe I think first that animals also have
feelings.
A good deed done to an animal is rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is like a good deed done to something that is living. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was one day asked, and he was giving the example of being kind towards animals, and Sahaba, the way many of us, and I'll be very honest with you, maybe perhaps people who come from the Indo-Pakistan background do not have such an inborn type of inclination towards righteousness and kindness towards animals. So someone said, Inna lana fil bahaimi ajr. Ya Rasulullah, are we going to be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for being kind to animals? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fi kulli dhati ratabin kabadin ratabin ajar. That for each and everything that has a liver which has life, Allah ta'ala will reward you for being kind to what? So the first thing, animals are things that have got life, and a good deed done to them is a good deed, and Allah will reward you with regard to it. While an act of cruelty to an animal was also something that will be liable to give you punishment from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allah.
We all know the very famous hadith.
Mulana,
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mulana, can I just come in?
Yes.
For, there's a caller. I think drop again.
Yes.
Okay, let's go to the lines. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Jee, brother.
My name is Farooq. Just to elaborate a little bit on what Faisal has mentioned earlier. With the honorary rangers, we know there is a region that a volunteer organization within the southern Johannesburg area. Regarding the youth, what the honorary rangers, we actually have launched in our AGM last 3 weeks ago is our junior honorary ranger program. So just to elaborate a little bit on it, and inshallah we'll talk about it in future. There is an article going to be sent out in the local papers where we would like to get juniors or our youth involved in a volunteer program in line with conservation and with nature. And inshallah through this we can steer them in the direction of being kind to animals and how to conserve the environment. And perhaps the parents that are listening can also maybe just take a few moments and just ponder that through these programs, inshallah, maybe we can try and steer our youth into following career paths in the natural science fields, which is lacking a lot in our community. You know, we don't know about career paths in agricultural science,
yes,
and botany,
yes,
and animal husbandry.
But I must say that during the course of the last few months, I met two people whom I know and interacted with, who was there, was very quite surprised. One of them, two of them have both taken to become vets and veterinary surgeons or veterinary doctors, whatever you would like to call them, as a career option. And it gave me a degree of pleasure that to see that Muslims are also going in that direction of different careers.
See, I'm not, it's actually very, very nice to see or to hear about these things. It's just that within our communities, we're very stereotyped in our thinking that we have to be a doctor, engineer, lawyer, you know, accountant now. We need to start teaching science and link it back to Allah and start teaching deen, with science in it as well. And there's a lot of, if we go into the natural science field, there's it's so vast, you know, like if we take, for example, just agricultural science, there's such a vast aspect. I don't know, we come from a very vast agricultural country, and there's so much agricultural research that needs to be done, likewise with any other natural field. And it would be good, if we can have our youngsters towards that, and at a later stage, inshallah, they can start teaching us and link everything towards deen, inshallah.
Inshallah. Jazakumullah for that, brother. Wonderful contribution.
Ameen.
Assalamu alaikum
warahmatullah.
It's 24 minutes to the hour of 10. You are listening to Radio Islam International. Jim, now you can continue.
Jazakumullah. Jazakumullah. Someone has very graciously sent me a message. A veterinarian. Is that the way? I hope I'm getting it. The veterinarian. Jazakumullah. Nevertheless, one, I think the first, let us first put the first thing, they are living beings, they deserve respect.
Right? Mm, the feelings.
Animals cannot speak up for themselves. There's a beautiful hadith in Abu Dawud Sharif. Sahal ibn al-Handaliyah narrated Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah ta'ala grant him peace and blessing, once passed by a camel that was so weak that its back had almost reached its stomach. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fear Allah with regard to those animals who cannot speak.
Allah.
Because animals cannot speak up for themselves doesn't mean you must take advantage of them. Animals cannot speak up for themselves. You know, it's such an amazing thing. Fear Allah with regard to those that cannot speak up for themselves and cannot express themselves.
Hmm.
That's the second. I'm just now making points and giving examples from Nabi Karim Sallam's life, adding to those with broad topics. Just as being unkind to them physically is wrong, right? Mental cruelty to them is also forbidden.
Mm.
And of course, in that, where the author has made mention with regard to the first point, where when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to answer the call of nature, he saw his companions and noticed a red-starred bird with two chicks. And during Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's absence, they saw a bird and they took the young ones away from the nest. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who has hurt the feeling of this bird by taking its young? Return them back to the mother.
Allah.
So just as physical cruelty is wrong to animals, mental cruelty is also forbidden to animals.
Allah.
And this is another aspect which we sometimes maybe take it for granted. Physical cruelty we can understand. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's very famous the hadith that there was once that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw an animal that had been branded on its face. Now, can you imagine, Mawlana? It's something so, so great. Our ulama have written that it is not even right to hit a student on its face. I know Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to emphasize this many a times. How many times they used to be, people used to call up and bring up this aspect of, is it permissible for an ustad to hit the children? Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, ma for that, used to say, never ever hit the child on its face. Now look at this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by an animal branded on its face. He said, has it not reached you that Allah has cursed the one who brands an animal's face or hits it on its face? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made mention that it is not correct for you to brand an animal or hit it on its face. So this is the very, very true. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once saw the same aspect which comes in Sahih Muslim, that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a donkey which has been branded on his face, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, may Allah curse the one who had branded it. This is the aspect of mistreatment from the physical point of view.
Yes, indeed. So we are busy discussing the chapter 14 under the book Enjoy Your Life and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's treatment towards animals. We're going to go to the callers again, and thereafter, inshallah, we look at the incidents mentioned in the book. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Well, I wonder, I read an article where, you know, it's very sad to note that the, you know, people who have just racing horses.
Mm-hmm.
And now, Mawlana, what happens is now the horses, oh, they make millions of rands out of those horses, the racing horses.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Mawlana, they take this horse, now it's old, it can't walk or suffering from old age. They take this horse, Mawlana, they go dump it somewhere in the field where it must disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is a lot of very sadness, a lot of sadness in the person's heart. And the other article I also read about is an elephant that identifies his siblings 100 kilometers away if he knocks his paws on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
He can identify where his siblings. They would reply also by doing the similar way to the ground.
Allahu Akbar.
And then once, you know, we grew up on a farm in Glenwood Park, and my father had a horse, and his horse was very ill.
Mm-hmm.
And he went and fetched a vet 3 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, of course, the horse died, and then he brought the vet and did a post-mortem on the horse to find out where the horse died from.
Mm-hmm.
So much of feelings they had during those days for animals.
Jazakumullah for that. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Yes, one of several incidents mentioned also in the book. The first one we discussed of the bird, the red stud bird, and the chicks. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked the Sahabi to return the children. The second one, Murana, of the ants, and also reminds us of the story of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Hatta idha atu ala wadi naml, qalat namlatun ya ayyuha naml, udkhulu masakinakum la yahtimannakum Sulaiman wa junuduhu. وَهُمْ لَا يَشْخُرُونَ. A very important thing in this verse, Mona, وَهُمْ لَا يَشْخُرُونَ. Many times we are cruel towards animals, thinking that they've got no feelings and they've got no sense of dignity or anything. So the Quran says, وَهُمْ لَا يَشْخُرُونَ. I think it's an important point, that, Mona.
Very important, very important. And you see, Mona, I'm giving broad titles to what I'm saying. We can speak of many incidents, but I just want to put those incidents into broad principles and guidelines for us. For example, the aspect of animals are also have also life, and that will be very, very beautifully explained. And that particular ayat would come into that. Listen, these things, you might look upon them as ignorant, you might look upon them as not having emotions and feelings and life, but they have. حتى إذا أتوا على وادي النمل قالت نملة يا أيها النمل ادخلوا مساكنكم. سليمان عليه السلام used to be able to understand the conversation of animals, and one day while he was going, he heard the animals speak, and the ants speaking to one another. قالت يا نملة يا أيها النمل ادخلوا مساكنكم. All ants go deep into the ground. That سليمان عليه السلام would come upon you, trample upon you. He would not be knowing that he's trampling upon you. He would not be able to know that he's trampling upon you. And this would be something that would harm you. So, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, فَتَبَسَّمَ ضَاحِكَ مِنْ قَوْلِهَا. He smiled at this aspect that he could understand what they were conversing. Now, I mean, a very important point. Today, many a times science, they tell us and they make mention that there is a certain code, and of course the last caller spoke about how animals have a code that they can communicate with one another, and there are many fascinating accounts with regard to how they communicate with one another. Sometimes they can communicate with one another over several miles, even couple of tens of miles. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that while they were talking, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam could understand. Today you come in to tell us that they have a mode of communication. The Quran has made mention with regard to it. And by the way, Mawlana, just speaking about this ayat, some years back, Hazrat Mufti Razaul Aksab Maddazillu al-Ali gave a talk at the Jamiatul Ulama's AGM, and he spoke about this ayat so beautifully, and he said, look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned about the end. And he said, why did Allah Ta'ala make mention of the end? He said, it's an amazing thing. He said, one of the reasons, and he gave many reasons why Allah Ta'ala has mentioned the end, and Allah Ta'ala has even named a surah after the end. Mm. And one of the amazing things he said, one of the reasons is that an end thinks about its own kind.
Allah.
So even the end told the other ends that go deep into the ground and save yourself, because Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam can come and trample upon you. And Mufti Sahib made mention of it in this way, that if you are in one fraternity, if you are in one ummah, for you to think about and care for one another is a quality which Allah Ta'ala appreciates so much that Allah, because of that, has made mention of the ants and named the surah after them because of this quality that they think about their own kind.
Allahu Akbar. And Mara, just looking at that same aspect of naming a surah after animal or after species, we find many other surahs also. Suratul Baqarah, Suratul Fil, Suratul Naml, Suratul Nahl, Suratul Ankabut.
Yes,
perhaps Mara, you could translate those words for us.
Yes,
Baqarah.
Yes, very much. And of course on that you remember Mawaiyat Shabun al-Tanwil al-Tanwil is one incident. A person came and performed Salat, and he found the Salat very, very long, because the Imam was taking very long. So as he was going out, he was asking that, what surah did Imam read today? He said, Surah Baqarah. He said, no wonder it took so long. I mean, the cow or the buffalo is a very big animal. That is why it took so long. So the next day he went to the masjid. He said, now, yesterday I waited so long for Salat. Today I don't want to sit and stand so long. So he asked the person, he said, what is the Imam reading today? So when the Imam started off, he said, he's reading Surah Fil, the surah of the elephants. So he said, if Baqarah took so long, how long Fil is going to take? I'd rather go back again. So anyway, yes, there is the animals with regard. Yeah, maybe very good in mind. We can make mention with regard to it. The first one is Surah Baqarah, Surah Fil, the surah of the elephant, And Naml. Of course, Naml, the ant, Ankabut, would it be, or how would it
spider.
Translate this, the spider?
Nahl.
Nahl, the bird, the bee. Mm. And at least five comes to mind. And of course, what would be an interesting thing that maybe next week we can look at it, the different animals which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made mention of in the Holy Quran. وَالْخَيْلَ وَالْبِغَالَ وَالْحَمِيرَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the mule. Allah ta'ala speaks about the horse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the donkey. And of course, even in the 14th surah, there is almost a ruku where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about using the animals as a means of covering yourself.
Mm.
So that is also something. Inshallah, maybe we'll do some research and related next week, inshallah.
Inshallah. Let's go to the lines. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yeah.
Mawlana, just a few days ago, on Facebook, I saw something that really touched my heart. It was a dog who found a newborn baby still alive. It had it in its mouth and went to go and leave it at somebody's doorstep. Well, what I really want to put across, in this day and age, human beings are dehumanized. They have just absolutely no respect even for human life. Their lives and their dignity is taken away. Yet, when I saw this visual, I truly was touched.
Mm.
And it really does pain my heart to see what's going on around in this dunya.
Jazakallah for that call. And the author at the start of this topic in such a way that when good interpersonal skill becomes your habit, they become second nature and an integral part of one's personality. Such a person is always found to be easygoing, light-hearted, gentle, forbearing and sensitive. So when gentleness becomes part and parcel of your character, then you will show it in everything. You will show it to other people, you will show it to your family, you will show it to animals. And I think that is something that has been beautifully explored and explained by the last caller. Jazakumullah for that. Maulana also making mention that forgiveness of sins has also been related to being kind towards animals.
Mm-hmm.
Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala narrates in a hadith in Sahih Muslim that once a woman who was not known for her modesty saw a dog on a very hot day going around and around a well, lolling its tongue because of its thirst, could not be able to access the water, but it was finding it very difficult because of the thirst, was on the verge of death. She drew water for it using her shoe. And for this action, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave her sins. A very, very very important and a very interesting and a very famous incident. Many a times we have heard our ulama speaking about this, that how important kindness is, that even because of kindness to an animal, a woman had been forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding. We go for a quick commercial break. When you return, inshallah, we'll continue. Let's go to the lines. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Hello.
Gee, you live on here, brother? Walaikum salam.
Jumala, I want to make one quick comment. The problem with us today is we only have time for man-made things and we don't have time for Allah's creations. And that is, I draw the line there, brother.
Jazakumullah for that, brother. Brother, another inhumane treatment of animals.
Hello?
Gee, brother, Jazakumullah for that.
Jazakumullah.
Right. Another inhumane treatment of animals could be witnessed on the circus tent.
Lot of very true, ma. I was just, while we were sitting in the break and going through that word, trying to get my tongue around that word, and I hope I got it right this time, veterinarian. So maybe inshallah. Then of course someone has also sent a message that at the SPCA in Boysons, there's a Muslim vet called Faisal, name is Faisal, Jazakumullah for that. Someone has also asked a question, Moana, very important, and maybe before that, the aspect about the circus, and I want to discuss that, the aspect of keeping pets, the aspect of hunting, very important. I don't think we even touched with regard to it. And surprisingly, you will find a great amount of resources in the hadith where Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made mention with regard to it. For example, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has forbidden that we should forbid using animals or birds for targets when practicing shooting. Now, those are aspects, inshallah, that we will do next week, inshallah. But someone has also said, what will happen to animals on the day of Qiyamah? Of course, we know that in the ayat, يَوْمَ يَنْزُرُ الْمَرْءُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا, the hadith is made mention that on the day of Qiyamah, as a time of accountability, Allah Ta'ala will bring about justice between animals. So any animal that has done wrong to another animal. For example, if you find that an animal that had horns had butted an animal which did not have horns in this world, Allah will reverse the situation in the year after. So the animal that did not have horns will be given horns, will be told to butt that animal which had horns in the world. And when equality has been restored, so there will be equality between animals. Can you imagine that what will be the situation with regard to equality between human beings? And after that has been done, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will dissolve, and Allah ta'ala will turn all the animals into dust. Right? And when the disbelievers, because of what Allah has kept in store for them in terms of punishment, when they see Allah ta'ala dissolving all the animals into dust, يَوْمَ يَنْزُرُ الْمَرُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَى وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ, the disbeliever will say, يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا, if only we could also be turned into dust. So it shows that after bringing about equality and bringing about justice between animals, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reduce them to dust. Sometimes yes. I think, Maulana, really it's such a thing, maybe only because of the fear of how Allah is going to take account of our deeds, you feel it maybe that is an easier option than to give account for your deeds in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Amazing indeed, Mara. No doubt today's program has served as an introduction to the actual topic, where there's so many more angles to look at. For example, horses, al-khayl ma'qudatun fi nawasi al-khayr ila yawm al-qiyamah. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that Allah has placed blessings and barakah in the forelock of a horse till the day of qiyamah. So irrespective of how advanced we might get, that blessing still remains up to the day of qiyamah. There's also the aspect of the circus, like Maulana mentioned, the lab rats, the experiments that are done on them, hunting, animal trade, and so many other topics that could be explored in the coming programs, Maulana.
Yeah, definitely, Maulana. I don't know if I've got time to maybe make mention of one incident, or will it be too late now?
Jim, you could, I think, speak about that incident where the Prophet of Allah advised the person who was sharpening the knife in front of the sheep.
That we'll do with regard to the slaughtering, but I find this one very beautiful. That the story is related to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's camel called Azba. Once a group of pagans and people from Makkah, they attacked the possessions of Muslims outside Medina Munawara, and they took away the camel of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as well as a Muslim woman. The Muslim woman, she found, while she was being taken into captivity, always looking for an opportunity to come back and free herself. So wherever they stop on the way, they should let the camel loose so they could pasture and drink water, etc. When they stopped over at a certain place and fell asleep, the woman got up in order to escape. She went to the camels as to mount one of them. Each time she went near a camel, it made a noise, causing her to avoid approaching it, lest she be found out while she was escaping. She kept approaching the camels one by one until she came to Al-Azba and moved it to discover that it was docile and well-trained. She then mounted the camel and made her way back to Medina Munawara. When she felt safe, she was overcome with joy and said, "Oh Allah, I vow to you that if you could save me by means of this camel, I would sacrifice it for you." When the woman reached Medina, the people recognized Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's camel. The woman then went home and the people brought the camel to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Later the woman came to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and asked for the camel because she had taken a vow that she would slaughter it. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "How evil is the reward you give a camel? Allah saved you because of the camel. Now you want to slaughter it." A vow is not valid if it is in disobedience to Allah or with that which one does not own. You cannot take a vow to do something on other people's property, and you cannot take a vow which amounts to disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a beautiful incident with regard to the she-camel of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Yes, a profound lesson for us all to take, and may we inshallah revere these beings after this day and change our view with regards to them. Mala, jazakumullah for your time, much appreciated. We hope to further this very same discussion next week, inshallah.
Jazakumullah.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
وبركاته.